It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
In our last study in the book of Ephesians, we read verse 7 where it says, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." Well, now I look at this and I see that it speaks about redemption. You see, the redemptive work of the Lord Jesus Christ has satisfied every claim forever. In other words, whether or not you are saved, this satisfies the claim that you are saved forever because of the redemptive work of Christ. Christ has paid the price, and all who believe are fully acquitted from every charge and penalty. In Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 12, it says, "Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us." Jesus Christ presented his blood as the only sacrifice that could take away the sin of the world, your sin and my sin. And of course, that only takes place, the forgiveness of sin takes place when we ask for that forgiveness from Jesus Christ. You see, on the Day of Atonement, as we look back in the Old Testament and we read about the mercy seat, on that Day of Atonement, on the mercy seat, it was overshadowed by the cherubim. And the blood was sprinkled. And you see now, the better blood, that which alone can take away sin, is upon the mercy seat. And God is, he is faithful and just on account of that blood to justify the believer, just as if we'd never sinned. Sin is gone. Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin once we trust him as our Lord and Savior. And as a Christian, some people believe they're saved today and lost tomorrow. They do something or they stub their toe and they say something bad. They think they've lost their salvation. Well, if you've had salvation in the beginning, in other words, if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that is a beginning. If you've done that, the Bible says that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. And once we trust him as our Lord and Savior, we stub our toe, however you want to put that, and all of a sudden, some believe they are lost on their way to hell. Well, Jesus Christ entered in once into the Holy of Holies. He died once for your sin and for my sin. He died once, and he's not going to die anymore. And neither will you be born again anymore. When you were born into this world, you were born once. You cannot take that back. You cannot do anything to reverse that. You cannot go back into your mother's womb. In fact, Nicodemus asked Jesus Christ when Jesus said, "You must be born again." He said, "How is it? Will I go back into my mother's womb? Can I do it?" Well, we know you can't do that. There is no way that a person can stop the first birth once they're here. And of course, they can't stop it anyway, even if they haven't been born yet. But you're born into this world one time. You were reborn into God's world, into God's kingdom, through Jesus Christ one time. Just as you could not do away with the natural birth that took place for you, you cannot get rid of the spiritual birth or the new birth by denying it. You cannot stop it. Once it's happened, it's happened. You cannot reverse it. The Bible says that we're saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and there is no way, there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God, according to Romans chapter 8. Now, when we think of this and we start studying the Word of God, it becomes clear to us. I fear that many people today are not into the Word of God, and therefore they are running around wringing their hands and wondering what's going to happen, especially in their life, if they believe that Jesus Christ is not able to save them forever. Well, the Bible tells me that we are saved forever. We know we're saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy that he saved us. So we're saved forever. No matter what comes into our life as a saved person, we are saved forever The reason that a person starts believing they're unsaved once they do something wrong, if they've been saved, once they do something wrong, it's of the devil. It's of the ignorance of people who do not get into the Word of God. You say, well, preacher, I don't think you should call people ignorant. I don't. They call themselves ignorant by not studying the Word of God. They are unlearned. They have not studied the Word of God to the point of really understanding and trusting the Spirit of God to lead them into all truth. And I believe that one of the reasons that people are ignorant is they are not studying the Word of God. They do not know the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. It would seem that some come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and they don't grow from that point on. Why? Because they have not gotten into the Word of God. Now, many times I will recommend that a person who has been saved for a length of time, that person would take someone under their wing, that they would take someone and start working with an individual who's just been saved and try to lead them along and help them to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Well, I still teach that a person should help another Christian. And at the same time, that does not relieve that new convert from studying the Word of God. That new convert needs to get into the Word of God. A Christian who is helping another grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ can go only so far. It's through the teaching of God's Word that a person grows in his grace and knowledge. It does the new convert, we say it does no good for that new convert to constantly depend upon an older Christian to lead and guide them along. It helps them. But they do not grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ until they get into the Scriptures. So it's right for an older Christian to help a younger convert to get into the Word of God, to show them that that's how they need to grow. It's through and by the Word of God. In other words, that new convert should not put their complete dependence upon an older Christian to help them to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. That older Christian can show them how to get started, how to start growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, and that is by getting into His Word. Now, we're redeemed. We've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, and that's what verse 7 is trying to show us here in Ephesians chapter 1. But now we go on, and once again it talks about grace, and verse 8 goes on to say, wherein He hath abounded toward us. Now, who is this? This is Jesus Christ. Wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Well, when I think of this, I look back and I look at Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 8, and I look at the word wisdom and prudence. Wisdom, prudence go hand in hand. It means having good sense. This is good spiritual sense. And it means having moral discernment, carefulness. The mind of Christ. In other words, we are to have the mind of Christ. You say, how do I get that? You get saved. You ask Jesus to come into your heart. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 16 says, for who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? And here's the answer. Who has known the mind of the Lord? But we have the mind of Christ, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 16. We have the mind of Christ because the Holy Spirit lives within us. We have been given so many things in the Christian life that sometimes we just push a lot of them aside and we do not listen to what God has to say to us. How can I understand the Word of God? It's by and through the Spirit of God. It's through the mind of Christ. He's given us the spiritual ability to understand His Word. And we need to take advantage of that daily in our lives. Now, I think also, as I look back, I go to Hebrews or Colossians, and I see further things here in Colossians chapter 2. And I'd like to read a few verses out of that. It says, for I would that ye knew what a great conflict I have for you. This is Paul the Apostle speaking. And for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, Paul says, that their hearts might be comforted together, or are being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of, notice these words, understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ. Did you catch that word, understanding? Let's keep reading. In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now we go back and we read verse 8 in Ephesians chapter 1. It says, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. And this is knowledge. We gain the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We keep reading in this book of Ephesians. It talks about knowledge, and all through God's word, it talks about wisdom and knowledge. How do we get that? We get saved. We ask Jesus Christ into our heart as a human being. We can grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ by getting saved and then getting into his word. Notice again, if you would, in Colossians chapter 2, it reads in verse 3, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Who are they hidden from? They are hidden from the unsaved people of this world. The only thing that an unsaved person can understand, well, they can understand the history of the book of the Bible. But the real thing that they can understand is you must be born again. You must trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Remember, Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. For what reason? First of all, that means we're going to heaven. And then it means that the treasures of wisdom and knowledge of God will be opened unto us. Once we get into his book, once we get saved, and we start understanding through the Spirit of God that we can understand the things of God. And remember, I made mention a few minutes ago in 1 Corinthians 2:16, it says, for who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Who's that speaking to? It's speaking to the saved people of this world. Now, Jesus Christ wants to give us everything. That is, saved people. He wants to give everything to everybody if they would only take advantage of it. Now, notice, I go back to Colossians once again. And in chapter 2, it talks about wisdom and knowledge. In verse 3 and verse 4, it says, in this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. How come people in so-called Bible-believing churches today are being led astray? They're being led astray. They're being beguiled by man. They're being beguiled by enticing words. Some preacher gets on TV with his shiny teeth and comb back hair. His hair is all nice and neat. He has a $500, $1,000 suit on. And people automatically think, well, this guy's good because look what he looks like and look how he's talking. He's beguiling you with enticing words. That is, if he is not preaching the word of God. And we as the children of God, we need to be on our toes. We need to be ready to look at a person who is using beguiling words and enticing words, and we're ready by getting into God's word, the word of God. Studying the word of God as saved people should be studying, and then we will not be beguiled with enticing words. Do you know him today as your Savior? If you do not know him today, get into his word and let him speak to your heart. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans chapter 10 and verse 13 says that. Romans chapter 10 says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth this confession is made unto salvation. That means when you get saved, you tell other people about Jesus Christ. Won't you call upon him today? Trust him as your Lord and Savior. And as a saved person today, you saved person, you need to get into his word and study the word of God.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.